You're listening to Breadbox Media. Find out more at breadboxmedia.com.
Hello and welcome to Real Living. This is Lavinia Spirito with Mary Lou Nemecek, and we are going to be looking at the various talks from the Renewal Ministries Gathering Weekend, that which I attended at the beginning of the month, or the middle of last month. And so we are, the theme, of course, was Rich in Mercy, tying in, obviously, with the Year of Mercy. And we kind of gave you all our overview of who the speakers were. And right now we just want to narrow in on one talk given by Debbie Herbeck, a good friend of mine, who came to our leader retreat, Catholic Way Bible Study leader retreat last year, and who will be with us again this year, who's a good friend of our ministry and also a good personal friend.
Right.
Her conversion story will be another show.
Yes.
Right? But actually, maybe.
And when she's here in August, let's have her give it.
Yeah, we should, right?
Yeah.
No, but we should have her on our show.
Right, that's what I'm saying.
Okay. So basically, her talk was, I thought, always very good. She's always very practical.
Now, can I mention one thing? When you went to Mexico, you were with Debbie mm-hmm. in the dump.
Yeah.
And that was also alluded to in this talk. So mm-hmm. there's many connections that you mm-hmm. share with her, especially mm-hmm. this recent one,
mm-hmm.
being
on that trip,
which you've already shared with listeners.
Which was so powerful.
It was
just so powerful. But, and the title of her talk is Practical Wisdoms for Aliens and Exiles. Practical Wisdom for Aliens and Exiles.
In challenging times.
I think every generation thinks that their times are the worst times, that their times are the most challenging times. But I think that, there's a reason why the scriptures exhort us to be faithful and to rely on the Lord in hard times, because hard times are always going to be there. It's not like there were some, extra special times in which there were no challenging times, because I think, in the end, what divides the men's from the boys in the ultimate analysis is, how do we deal with hardship?
Well, she was very methodical in going through this, because she talked about how the reality of our times, which she wasn't going to go through the laundry list, which we already know, but how it threatens our peace and joy in the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
And she's going to address it through 4 points, the first of which is prayer. The second one is unfailing love for one another. The third one is rooted in an internal perspective, and that is being invested in heaven. And the fourth one is to encourage each other to be witnesses of the gospel. Now, when you hear these 4 things, you're wondering, well, how is she going to pull this together? Well, she does in a beautiful way. And again, it's through a perspective that she wanted to share with us. And she brought in your recent trip to the garbage dump, as to how when you're there, you really see life in a broader sense. And I think you talked about that in great detail when you described the trip and everything that happened there. And she was saying that she went back to a scripture that what has been is what will be. And what has been done is what will be done,
mm-hmm.
that there's nothing new under the sun. So whether God put us in the world in these circumstances, there was a reason for that. But what we're experiencing and the fears and tribulations and everything that we see out in the world is nothing new under the sun.
Mm-hmm. And that's what scripture is there, is to give us perspective and to give us a plan and a purpose when we face the fiery ordeal. And she goes through the letter of Peter, the two letters of Peter, talking about the fiery ordeals. She says, fiery ordeals seem to be the norm for Christians. Stop being surprised. The norm for disciples is that the world is always going to oppose us, Okay, two sources of fiery ordeal. One, the world is going to oppose the disciples of Jesus Christ. And two, we live in a sinful world. So even though we might say, hey, we're just going to sit on the fence, we're not going to do anything, we're still going to be involved in other people's sinfulness and in a broken nature. So nature herself, in tsunamis and earthquakes and volcanoes and tornadoes and floods, shows us that creation is broken as well. So it's like you can't just say, well, oh, I won't be a disciple and therefore I'll be spared from trouble, because there's going to always be trouble.
Exactly. And you know, she's a convert from Jewish religion.
Judaism.
Judaism. And she was talking about trying times. Well, think about this. Think about Noah building the ark. Mm-hmm. You think that was pretty trying?
Mm-hmm.
Think about Abraham being called to sacrifice his son. You think that was pretty trying? What about Lot living in all the immorality that he was living in? What about Moses, who did all the tasks, and at the end his reward was not in this life, but in the next? He never entered the promised land. And she went back to talking about the Israelites. 40 years of wandering in the desert, they couldn't get it right. They kept, you know, going against what God was telling them to do, what was preparing him, and they kept breaking the covenants. They had hardness of hearts, and guess what? They stayed in the desert.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we have to look at what each one of us is doing. We don't want to stay in that desert, you know. We want to move on, move out, and accept the divine rescue that mm-hmm. God has for us.
Mm-hmm.
And she brought up, you know, there was another scripture reference in the fullness of time.
Mm-hmm.
And she said that, think about that, in the fullness of time, God sent his son. This wasn't plan B. This was the plan.
Mm-hmm.
And not only that, then he sent his spirit to live in his followers. And that spirit is to equip us and empower us. So, you know, I think she was really bringing this whole plan that as we sit here thinking, oh my gosh,
mm-hmm.
look at where I'm stuck. Look at the world. It's falling mm-hmm. apart. What are we going to do?
Mm-hmm.
I'm afraid. I'm upset. I'm angry, whatever it may be. Well, guess what? Nothing has changed under the sun. God still has a plan. We're to follow it. And she's going to give us some great tips in putting all of this really into perspective.
I liked where her starting point was 1 Peter 4, verses 7 through 8, which I thought is a great starting point. The end of all things is at hand, therefore keep sane and sober for your prayers. The end of all things is at hand. Therefore, keep sane and sober for your prayers. Above all, hold unfailing your love for one another, since love covers a multitude of sins. You know, this seems like a little throwaway verse, like, okay, stay sane, stay sober. But really, what is sobriety? Sobriety is not only not being intoxicated with substances. Sobriety is a sober approach to life, whereby we don't go off the deep end in one way or the other. So let's say bad things are happening to us. We don't go off the deep end in depression and despair. But by the same token, if good things are happening to us and life is good and we're not excessively giddy, because we know that life in general is what we make of it, you know, but through the power of the Holy Spirit. So keep sane and sober.
And, you know, when you were talking about the fiery ordeal,
mm-hmm.
she used the word stop being surprised.
That's right.
Stop being surprised. This is what Jesus has called us to do.
Mm-hmm.
And we're all to pick up our cross. So why are we so surprised by all of this? You know, we are to be united with him in this. And we've talked about this battle, and that, you know, we're secret agents behind enemy lines. We are exiles in this world.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this is not where we really belong.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, why do we kind of put ourselves in those boxes of being afraid or thinking that we're alone or that, you
right,
know,
we are not
we've
alone.
Got to do this. No, we don't do
we
this.
We are never alone.
We are to do God's will, and that's how we're equipped to handle all of this.
And this is what God's will means, as you pointed out, those points that she articulated this talk on. And I thought, what I love about when Debbie speaks is that she's used to speaking to young women. She's used to speaking to young girls in her middle school camps and in her high school ministry. And she's used to speaking to university age women and then to young adult women. So she has a whole range of people. But the common denominator with that kind of group is that you got to keep it real. You got to keep it practical. You can't be going off flying around up high in high language and in high concept. You have to give them small bites that they can actually perceive and apply to their lives. And I think that's very important. That really gives me hope because the way she speaks is very clear and is very actionable. I mean, you really can do something about it.
You know, what also gave me hope is when she says that we're not alone, that there's a cloud of witnesses that have gone before us, mm-hmm. and there's going to be a cloud of witnesses behind us. Mm-hmm. And she was referencing to the young people that mm-hmm. she sees coming along, which mm-hmm. she's with all the time, mm-hmm. and what she's called to work with. And that, there is a manual for hard times, and we've got to get into that manual. Mm-hmm. And she goes back and she says it's Scripture.
Mm-hmm.
In Scripture, God provides His perspective to us.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. It's there. We mm-hmm. need to go there and start paying attention mm-hmm. and being in it. And she said, don't try to sign up for a new program, new devotion, new Bible study, new anything. You know, that's a means, but that's not it, if you know what I'm saying. That's mm-hmm. when she starts with her points for the need for prayer, because that's our connection to the source. And who's the source? God, our Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
That's the only way we can acquire God's heart and mind for various situations. And I think that I know personally, and you may too, Mary Lou, that if you don't have God's mind and heart for a situation, you're going to be having whose heart and mind for a situation? Yours, which isn't nearly as nice powerful.
No, and that's why you're always saying, and this is why, you know, the big key words today, you have to have a personal relationship with the Lord. If you don't have that, the rest of this isn't going to work because it's not going to get into your head, your heart. It's you're just flailing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, go to the source.
Mm-hmm.
Go to the source.
And that's the first point. Pray, but pray so that you have a direction to pray. I thought that was good.
Mm-hmm.
Pray so that God will bring up that sometimes when I'm all like in a hurry or confused or I'm down or I'm whatever, I know that I can ask the Lord for direction to prayer and He will bring scripture passages to mind. He will bring words to mind. He will direct our prayer. We will be right back.
You're listening to Breadbox Media. Find out more at breadboxmedia.com.
Hi, and welcome back to Real Living. We are kind of looking at the talk that Debbie Herbeck gave over the weekend at the Renewal Ministries gathering last month. She gave a talk on practical wisdom for aliens and exiles in this world during challenging times. We made a point before the break to assert that the times are always challenging and that we need to just put these pointers in our minds. And I don't think this is rocket science for any of us. I don't think this is news, but it's always nice to have it reiterated. Stay in prayer. Stay in prayer so that you can pray, so you can know how you should pray.
Exactly.
Because it's a conversation. You know, like if I'm entering a new situation and I encounter somebody who's an expert in that situation, I will say to them, hey, I don't know what I'm doing. Can you please help me? Just help direct me. You know, what should I do first? What should I do next? How should I do it? Etc. And I think it's the same way with the Lord. We just ask Him for His mind and for His heart for situations. And that will take away all the fear and all the anxiety.
And she used that word, when we do that, we're praying maturely.
Mm-hmm.
And how many of us don't pray maturely? And she brought it up, and of course, in scriptures, prayer can move mountains. Mm-hmm. I always think about that, or the mustard seed.
Mm-hmm.
But she made a point to pray daily in the scriptures, to study the scriptures, to meditate on the scriptures, and to shut down the noise and distraction.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it's we can all check those boxes. And that was the very first item of her points that she was making, was the importance of prayer. And I'll just skip to one thing she did at the very end. She said the perfect prayer is the Our Father,
mm-hmm.
which I thought tied in so beautifully mm-hmm. to all of this.
Mm-hmm.
And
the second point was the unfailing love that we need to have for one another. And that's like we had a wonderful meeting of the leaders of Catholic Way Bible Study yesterday. We had an incredible worship time.
Mm-hmm.
And that was one of the points that I think the Lord brought up was, yes, we all know we need to pray, but do we all know that we need close, committed relationships? I mean, that is so against the wisdom of the age that tells you that if you don't agree with somebody, you should just move away, or they should move away, or you should move away, or there's no engaging. There's no committing to resolve. You can see that even in marriages. You know, you have these serial monogamy. You have people breaking up in order to find the next person, in order to find the next person. But instead, the norm of Christian life is to witness to the world through close, committed interpersonal relationships. Stay in the relationships. Work it out. She quoted Ephesians 4:15, build up one another in love, and Colossians 3:16, to teach and admonish one another in love, to praise, to worship, and to pray over one another.
Some of the items I pulled out of this also was, she said, to love faithfully, forgiving one another, in a committed way, practicing love of one another. And she brought up later on in the talk about Mother Teresa, when someone went and said to Mother Teresa, what can I do? What can I do when this world is such a mess? And she told the person, go home and love your family, which I'm sure that the air went out of that person's balloon, because it was like, if there's anything else I can do, please give it to me, but not that.
Anything but that.
Yeah, it's the hardest thing to practice is to deal with your own family. But she made it a point that we want to look different than others when the hard times come. And we all feel as though there's hard times coming for all of us. And that we're going to be out on the streets caring for one another. And that the evil one is the one that's going to instill the fear in us and is going to create division. So she brought up that old song, we know we are Christians by our love. And I, you know, once you say that, it's like it keeps ringing in your head. But she was very, very specific about the love, the community together. And she even made it a point to say that the social media, if used correctly, can instill more of that closeness, which I thought was interesting, because I think, you know, anything used skillfully can be, you know, productive. And we can use, as the early church did, those customs, those locations, whatever the pagan sites or things may be, we went and we Christianized them. And that's what we have to do with our social media too.
And to meet together regularly. I thought that was a great point. Pray, be open to praise, to worshiping together, to praying over one another. When was the last time one of us had a headache and the other one said, let me pray for you right now. Let me pray over you right now. Well, I think that's the kind of thing that we need to develop a little bit more. I think we could be a little more forthcoming in just, hey, let me just pray for you right now. Let's not go home and add it to our list of 48,000 other things that we have to pray for. Although, obviously, we should pray for the things that the Lord brings to mind, right? So be in close, committed, interpersonal relationships. Work it out. Teach and admonish one another. Build one another in love. You know, let's say that I'm weak in an area. I can be with you, Mary Lou, and you can help me in that area. Or if you're weak in one area, you can lean on me. I mean, I think it makes sense. Whereas the wisdom of the world, especially the women's magazines, for instance, are that we need to be perfect in every area, and that God forbid that we should admit vulnerability,
right,
or transparency in a certain way, or weakness. But in the end,
or if we have a defect of some sort of defect on the outside, I mean, we have to do something to cover that up.
We got
to
shellac it, pull it up, shellac it, shoot darts
color
at
that
it,
gray hair,
color, do whatever, you know. But okay, but you all know where we're coming from. We're saying care for one another, and not only spiritually. 2 Corinthians 8:1-7, which I thought she was very good. Care for one another materially. Be serious. Be generous in the works of mercy, especially the corporal works of mercy in this year of mercy. I think the spiritual works of mercy also need love, but the corporal works of mercy also probably could need a bit of attention as well, right? So, and that's one last thing before we go on to the next point. I think one of the main ways that we will evangelize the world will be they will know we are Christians by our love. In other words, they see us sticking together. They see us not gossiping or trying not to gossip. They see us not being ready to go, you know, to descend upon people who have sinned or are wrong or whatever with both feet, but we have a merciful attitude. And that, I think, more than anything else. You know, I was listening to, I think it was Father John Ricardo the other day, and he was quoting an article by Father McCloskey that said that the early church went from the few 120 people, 500, whatever, at the beginning in Jerusalem, to across the known world by the end of the third century, despite violent persecution.
Exactly.
Until 313. And they did not have diocesan evangelization programs.
Committees.
They didn't have parish spiritual life committees. Mm-hmm. They didn't even have united magisterial teaching because there was no media. Who knew, you know, mm-hmm. right? I mean, they knew some of the basics. And how was the world evangelized before all the various technological things and all the various programs that we have? The world was evangelized one relationship at a time. The letter to Diognetus, which is a very early letter in the first century, mm-hmm. says, we are in the world, but we are not of the world. We have children, but we don't expose them on the mountainside. We don't get rid of the children that we mm-hmm. don't want. We have the marriage bed, but we don't invite others into it, which kind of gives you a glimpse
into the lifestyle of the late empire.
It's like, we are known for being Christians.
How much more countercultural could you have been?
Exactly. But we do it in love. We don't do it from a condemning point of view, right?
Right.
And that, I think, is what she's working towards. We can't just go around telling people, oh, pray, oh, do this, oh, go to the Adoration Chapel. Yes, those are good things. Yes, go to Mass. But we need to then take that witness and project it outside.
There has to be works
to the people who will mm-hmm. not be in the Adoration Chapel,
exactly.
who won't be at Mass, who mm-hmm. really don't even care to be at Mass, who don't mm-hmm. even care for the transcendent view of the universe, you know? Mm-hmm. We have to be able to be all things to all people in love. I think that's kind of one of the things she's saying. The next point is be rooted in the eternal perspective. Invest in heaven. Heaven is our thing. It is our hope. Don't be too comfortable. Too distracted. Don't be envious or jealous of others. Don't narrow our focus on love. 1 Corinthians 13, you know, the famous used and abused passage at weddings. Mm-hmm. You know, you hear that passage read at weddings and you just look at this shiny, bright, brand new couple and you say, do they really know what they're letting themselves in for? Do they really know what this means? You know, and I think that goes back to what Mother Teresa said, go home and love your families.
Well, and that's why she used the expression, and she says, you invest in heaven, but it takes cultivation.
Mm-hmm.
You're just not going to say, okay, I'm invested. No, you have to go out and plant those seeds and see those seeds grow.
And then grow them, water
exactly,
them.
Exactly. We have to know that that's our reality, that that's what we're working towards above all else.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, again, you can be further out of the culture than to focus on heaven, on the
mm-hmm.
eternal.
Mm-hmm.
And she was talking about, and you met this lady, I'm sure, a Helinka or something down in the dump.
And, oh, yeah. Angelica.
And, yes. And she said, my hope is not in this place or this world. Because she wondered how could she live there.
Mm-hmm.
She's 42 years old. She says she looks like she's 70.
Right.
But because she's not rooted in this world,
right.
she has that eternal joy and
right.
hope of where she's going.
Right.
I mean, oh, my gosh.
And that hope, that being rooted in the eternal perspective, is what made her, the next point in Debbie's talk, a witness of the gospel. You know, we're commissioned as disciples to proclaim and to preach, to exhort and to teach in season and out of season. Do not grow weary in doing good. How is good calling us to love each person? So go home. And that was the context of go home and love your families. Mm-hmm. But not only love your families, love the person who calls you up and keeps you on the phone well beyond when you want to get off, right?
Right. And she said, you know, we're called to become saints.
Exactly. And then finally, her final point is strive for holiness. Don't let fear overcome us. Don't let fear and anxiety be what we're about, but instead be bearers of life. Respond in small steps. Practice like you play. I love it because she's
yes,
such a jock.
She did.
You know,
yeah.
She trained her daughter's softball team for many years.
And get into the game.
Get into the game. Practice like you play. This is not a dress rehearsal. This is it. Mm-hmm. Long for heaven. Long for God's will. Eat your daily bread and have a deep desire for holiness. And that's where she closed up with pray the Our Father. If we should pray every word of the Our Father, like we really mean it, like really thinking about every word, our lives would be vastly changed. That was it for this week. We're going to continue on the next talk of the Renew Ministries Gathering. We'll see you next time. Thanks for joining us.
You're listening to Breadbox Media. Find out more at breadboxmedia.com.